Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from September the 20th, 2023. We'll go ahead and dive right into this video by taking a look at the major asset class review, as well as a brief look at some changes we've seen in Dolly. First, looking at the performance over the past week, we've seen commodities continue to lead the way to the upside here, up over 1% with GSG. Also saw developed markets in positive territory, as well as the dollar continuing higher up 47 basis points there, just eking its way higher. On the downside, we've seen the Russell 2000 continue to move lower as well. It is down over 1.5% on the downside there. Joining it is the NASDAQ Composite as well as the NASDAQ 100. Looking at GSG, we've seen that chart move up to the 2250 level near the top of that trading band, close to matching that rally point we've seen back in November there at 23, now boosting a fund score north above 4 there for GSG. Looking at the S&P 500 this morning. With yesterday's action, we did see it reverse down into a column of those, break a double bottom there at 44.20, ending a series of 7 consecutive buy signals that we saw for the index. Ultimately, still continuing to watch support here at 43.60 and 43.40 as our more intermediate term support. Not all too surprising with recent sort of sideways action, seeing this sell signal here on the chart for the S&P 500. Additionally, we've seen another sell signal the index brought back to a sell signal rather for the Russell 2000, breaking a triple bottom here at 1830, again testing that support there at 1830 and 1820. With the Russell 2000 continuing to move lower on a relative basis, we've seen it weaken relative to cash. This is our UT against our money market proxy here, MNY MKT, following last night's action, it reversed down into a column of those there. Does still technically maintain an RS buy signal, but we've seen a lot of sideways action from a relative standpoint for the small caps compared to cash over really the past 12 months. On Dolly, not much change really within the asset class level. We continue to see commodities pick up buy signals, adding 6 over the past week, mostly taking those from international and domestic equities, which is pretty interesting. Not really taking too many more from the lower ranked asset classes here. Under the hood of domestic equities, we've seen energy move up into the third position, overtaking consumer cyclical there, still maintaining 160 buy signals for cyclical and sitting in fourth place. Just really seeing a theme here of commodity related, either equities or commodities. Is strictly gaining signals within Dolly and continuing that strength. But for more on the asset class group scores, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we proceed further into September, let's take a look at some of the top line score indications. The money market percentile rank is about where it was. It had a slight downtick. In fact, the core percentile rank had a slight downtick. I think the bigger news is the intermediate bullish percent has some follow through here after reversing down in August. We added another box here in September, and then we're ticking closer to maybe adding another box south. So this is more of some of the equity, kind of consolidation or depression and the equity funds all across the world, including the U.S. As we consider the groups that score above 3, we're still hanging in there. We're 75. That's actually an uptick from last week, but I think doing well. We're losing a few of the blue groups. We're down to about 11 now. Of these, I think the scores that are improving the most are inverse fixed income, but we still have. We still have a fair set of groups that score above the score of 4. As we take a look at the contrast between all U.S. equity and international, still, have a widening spread here as international has kind of fell through this 3.2 line as we moved into September and is kind of hovering here. So we'll continue to take a look at that contrast. As David mentioned, commodities are improving and getting closer to crossing the score of 3, which is very impressive. As we take a look at the contrast of value and growth, I want to say, hey, we've crossed lines here. The value funds have moved up equal to or slightly better than the growth collection. What this is going to end up doing if this keeps up is is pushing the inventory around. So we're going to, you know, if this keeps up, start seeing scores move around in the high score lane. And that could, you know, muddy the waters a little bit as to relative leadership. So be aware that is in progress. And we'll continue to, you know, comment on that. Yeah, as we take a look at the moving averages of all equity and the positive trend of all equity around the world, we've had a slight downtick over the week, and certainly a slight or a downtick as we crossed in September to, you know, further than mid-September. These indicators are within strike distance of reversing down. They're in column of X's as we speak. We'll continue to take a look at that to see if there's any further southward action. The PT is in a column of X's. And again, a move to a column of O's would be at least noteworthy since that indicator does not move very often. I want to kind of take a look at confined universe of these four indexes and what they imply and the factors that they intend. I want to say, you know, good news to the momentum portion, which has moved up in level, which is good news, and moved into third position, flattening out over the, you know, course of a couple of weeks here, but good news for momentum. The bad news is the equal weight being last place, which is kind of more rare. Of these four, but more rare is the level the equal weight is at, which is near the 20th percentile. You know, as we think about index alignment now, 20th percentile is actually pretty low, fairly rare among the equal weight. That kind of reminds me of, you know, data that we would see that, you know, 1999, 2000, early 2009, early 2020 now. What it may imply is that the soldiers are softening up here, the average stock, let's say, and the generals, meaning the cap weighted versions like the SPX, for example, and the MTUM and the Qs, you know, are in an upward bias. So you have a market being held up by the generals and the soldiers are weakening up there. So again, a caution to the general, you know, market fabric there. This also implies small caps will be weakening as well, as David mentioned. So again, always a thrill in September as we head into October, and keep your head on a swivel. And I want to finish with the spread of all equity over all fixed income widens a little bit as the all fixed income makes a new low. So again, exacerbating issues, I think, unusual historically. And we'll just, you know, keep on top of this story for any opportunistic setups that occur here. But for more on momentum in the dollar, let's move over to John.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So not a ton changed over the last week. Looking at the momentum spreads, we're still in the same pattern that we've seen the last couple of weeks here. We're still way below the recent highs that were made back in the fall of 2022. So we're going on a year here of this drawdown. And we haven't really been able to get going, especially on the domestic side, which is represented in that top right panel. Emerging markets actually does look a little better, still remains below that high that was made back in the fall of 2022, but at least the intermediate term trend there has looked better than it has domestically. And developed continues to just kind of move sideways and consolidate those gains that we saw in the spread that have been kind of running up so far this year. So momentum is improving somewhat. It's still not great, but we are seeing some improvements there. These spreads are kind of holding in, even though they do remain well below those highs made in the fall of last year. Moving over to the U.S. dollar, we talked about this last week. There was the breakout. We got a buy signal here. We're kind of bumping up against that trend line. So this is certainly something to watch. As we've talked about before, the dollar tends to trend very well. And when you get one buy signal, oftentimes you'll get follow on. Same with the sell signal. So I think we're looking at kind of a higher dollar here heading into the end of the year. But we are at a pretty critical inflection point here, giving that one buy signal and then kind of bumping up against that trend line. But for more on currencies, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thank you, John. It was a positive week, all things considered, for the broad crypto space across the board, with all but one coin landing in the green and outperforming the broad market S&P 500 there. With that said, we did see a couple of coins underneath the hood returning to their column of X's. However, the broad space remains largely in a somewhat limbo of a technical picture all across the board. With that said, though, we'll go ahead and wrap up here our conversation of crypto with a technical review of BITO, the ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF. It does have a 1.16 fund score, so something we're looking to avoid. We're looking here at a longer term scale for the ETF at current levels at this point, but we are on a sell signal, which we returned to in August, and with this week's action continued lower to test our bullish support line, return to a negative trend would occur with further downside action and would put us back into a negative trend since breaking through that bearish resistance line in April of this year, looking for a reversal back up into X's coming at the middle of the trading band at 1450. With that said, though, I'll go ahead and wrap up here and pass it over to Joseph to talk about size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And we saw, you know, some slight changes over the past couple of weeks. I know we missed last week's call. But really no major changes. You know, as we kind of touched on already, the large cap space continues to lead over the small cap space. This started to get jumbled up a little bit a couple of weeks ago as small caps really started to pick up steam. But we've seen this kind of return back to what we've experienced for most of the year, where you kind of have large caps, you have mid caps, and you have small caps at the bottom. Now, all these groups still remain above a score of 3, except for the micro cap group, which recently dropped below there at 2.91. So all in still an okay position. You can also see, if you look at the weekly overbought or resold readings here and just sort by that column there, you can see, you know, the recent stuff that's, you know, had the most recent downside over the last couple of weeks has been the small caps, which some of those have, or all of those have much higher overbought or sold readings than something like large cap growth, for example. So we're seeing a decent amount of weakness in the small cap space relative to the large cap space over the last month or so. And we did look at a chart of the Russell 2000. Here's just the ETF of that IWM here. Just wanted to focus on this really important level here at 182. So it's still on a positive trend on this chart, but it's been bouncing off this 182 level a few times and recently touched it again with yesterday's price action. So I think this is becoming, you know, it was already an important level, but it's becoming even more important. I think the more times you test it, the bit weaker it becomes each time as buyers try to defend it over and over again. So we'll see what happens here. I do think a break would be very significant. I think that opens up kind of the bottom of the trading band area here around 174. And then if that doesn't hold, I do think it opens up something like 168, which would be the low for the year on IWM there. After that kind of rejection here at 198 in July, which was the prior high in February, and then just a box away from its August high of last year. So a lot of range bound action. We're right in the middle of the trading band. Kind of fighting it out here. I do think if you see a failure of that middle of the this middle area hold here at 182, then I do think it opens up for the bottom of that range to get tested. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on here is the Vanguard Value ETF. So Steve kind of touched on, we've seen some improvement in the value camp over the past couple of weeks. Now, this fund is trading right at resistance here at 146, which was its November high from last year. But relatively speaking, we haven't really seen this trend too well, really since 2021. 2022, kind of slow grind lower, rally toward the end of the year, and then really, you know, nothing much going on this year. So if we can get through above this 146 level, that'd be a great start. But there is a lot of resistance there at 150 as well. So something to keep an eye on with value. We have seen some improvement over the last couple of weeks and months, but the long-term picture I still think remains fairly mixed, if not somewhat negative. Now, moving over into individual sectors here, looking at financials and healthcare. Really no major changes. However, we did see financials tick back above that score of 3.0. This is the second time it's done it in the last couple of months. The last time kind of resulted in a failure and a push back down into the yellow zone. So we'll see if this time it can stick. Still has a positive score direction, which is a good thing to see. However, we really haven't seen the financial banks group, which has been kind of the main area of the sector that's held it down. So we really haven't seen too much improvement from banks, even though the broad financials group has ticked higher a little bit over the past couple of weeks. And then healthcare continues to move lower. Now one of the poorest scoring sectors on the asset class group scores page here. And biotechs, its subsector, are kind of in the same group, same camp right there. Now looking at XLF, you know, while financials did tick higher on the asset class group scores page, we really haven't seen any changes in the broad sector fund here. 2.30 fund score, so below that acceptable score of 3. Hasn't had any chart movement in over a month now. So a lot of just stagnation and choppiness over the last month. Now you've kind of run into a lot of resistance here from 35 to 36. Tried to peak above in February, but that failed. And then we kind of see this reversal back down in a negative trend. I do think, you know, the technical evidence is more negative than positive with what we're seeing right here. And this rejection at the top of the range, I think, does open up something like these low 30s to get tested once again, unless we can get above, I would say 36 to 36.50 would be a great spot to see for XLF. One stock to look out for is Hartford Financial Services, ticker HIG. It's a perfect five for Fiverr. Pulled back in August, but has a series of nice support areas and three consecutive buy signals right near the middle of the trading band, and offers a yield of 230 basis points. So that's a stock you could consider in the space right now. Moving over to healthcare, just want to look at the positive trend for the healthcare sector here. Now you can see here, you know, pretty poor reading, chart level 22%. Its last readings at 17. This has been, you know, below, you know, 40% since the middle of 2021. So this has been a, you know, a sector that's lacked any clear direction, or at least any upside direction, for a couple of years now. It's formed a triple top here at 22. I wouldn't get too hung up on that. It looks like it's getting close to reversing back down into a column of O's. But, you know, really, I'd like to see this start to push, you know, before we get to some acceptable readings above 40%, which kind of seems to be the middle point for this indicator right here. But for now, again, some more negative technical evidence for the broad sector. I will say there are a few stocks that offer, you know, some diamonds in the rough in the healthcare sector. One of those is Cigna. It's a three for fiver. It's trading on three consecutive buy signals. Moved back to a positive trend in June. Has a lot of support levels established below it, and recently tested some support there at 268 and has reversed up since then and stayed at that column of X's. So I think a good looking name that kind of suffered earlier in the year, but has started to move higher over the last couple of months. And with that said, I'll go ahead and pass on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll dive right into consumer cyclical as well as utilities. Over the past week, we saw the cyclical space move a little bit lower with XLY falling about 1.7%. We did see XLY reverse down into a column of O's here at 168 after it had rallied to match that prior top there at 174. Still maintains a sell signal after it broke that double bottom here last month at 166, but basically seeing a lot of sideways action with some resistance here in the mid-170s for XLY right now. From a participation standpoint, we have seen that dial back somewhat. Looking at the broader bullish percent for this for the cyclical space, we've seen it fall down near this 32% level, which is close to its lowest reading for the year. We did see it reverse up off of that 30% level back in January coming into the year, but we'll continue to monitor that. Additionally, we see the PT indicator reversing down over the past couple of weeks. weeks here at 36%, appearing and maybe moving lower as well, looking to possibly mark another O there at 34%. So still continuing to monitor these indicators. We are seeing some of those stocks move to sell signals, also violate their trends. Among the stocks that have been watched over the past couple of weeks within the space have been MGM as well as Caesars, as there was news that they were hacked last week. Actually, while we were out there in Vegas, was a pretty interesting time. With MGM, though, we have seen continued negative action really through much of August and now through September, and even this recent action not making the technical picture, at least very, very near term, all that much better, as it's fallen down to test the bullish support line here at 39. Still does technically maintain that 5 for 5 attribute rating, but a move into a negative trend, we're then looking at support possibly in the lower 30s, and possibly with the move that we've seen here out of the stock recently, may see a potential reversal on its RS charts. So we keep an eye on MGM there, potential violation of the bullish support line. The next stock we watch or potentially keep an eye on is going to be Tractor Supply, TSCO. Still 3 for 5, although trading in a negative trend. Yesterday broke a double bottom there at 208. Now testing support that dates back to December here, really could even call it November, with additional support there at 204. So something to monitor on TSCO's chart. Looking at United Airlines, another one that we've seen break down over the past couple of weeks, moved into a negative trend last week, toward the end of last week, as it fell to 45, also reversed down into a column of those on its market RS chart, dropping it down to a 2 for 5 after it had been, or started the month, a 4 for 5. So seeing some further downside action out of United. On the earnings front, AutoZone did report. We see it move down to test the trend line here at 24.32. Although it technically did beat, it was boosted by earnings growth, especially growth within Mexico and Brazil. There was some sort of interesting metrics and overall as far as same-store sales within the U.S. that weren't quite meeting expectations. So we've seen the stock move a little bit lower, but really sitting right about the middle of the trading band. Just keep an eye on that 2400 level, as that would potentially move it into a negative trend for AutoZone. Elsewhere on the earnings front, we do have Darden reporting tomorrow, DRI. Recent action, especially over the past couple of months, has brought DRI lower, now testing support here in 148, 146. Potential positive report would maybe reverse it back into a column of X's here at 154. Near-term holders may look at that as a possible time to exit. Maybe long-term holders may reevaluate the stock then. Still does technically maintain a 4 for 5 attribute and is maintaining support here. So long-term holders on a reversal may continue to hold there. Elsewhere within the sector, we do want to leave at least with a somewhat of a positive. Amazon, AMZN, is a 4 for 5, recently giving a market RS buy signal last week, reversed down into a column of O's with yesterday's action coming back towards the middle of the trading band there at 136. And from a technical perspective, is one of the healthier looking charts out there at the moment. So really potentially actionable for Amazon. Moving on over into utilities, we did see a little bit of an uptick in utilities, as XLU was the top performer over the past week, saw reversal back into X's here at 65, but doesn't really change that technical picture all too much. Still a 0.19 fund score, near zero almost. And really, when we look at participation within the sector, we've continued to see that wane, as the BP for the sector now sits at 24%, its lowest reading since October of last year. And even when we look at the positive trend perspective, still continuing to see charts move into negative trends, as that bullish percentage, or pardon me, that PT is at its lowest reading since November of last year. The one slight positive that we saw in terms of looking at charts within the sector today was NRG. It's a 3 for 5, moved back into a column of X's against the market a couple of weeks ago, so showing some near-term outperformance. This is the 50 cent per box chart. We saw it move it back into a positive trend during June. Brief sell signal here, but near-term action has brought it back to a buy signal here at 38.50, moving up to 40 here, which is a level we've not seen since the early part of December, therefore NRG. The next sectors I'll look to cover, I'll be covering these for Will, are staples. Not much to really report within real estate, but looking at staples action there this past week, not too much, bit of a mixed bag. We saw XLP down 46 basis points. As far as looking at RSPS, the equal weight, we've seen action take it close to this $31 level. level, which is a support level that dates back to September of last year, actually, and really even further back to September of 2021. So really keeping an eye on that support there at 31. A move below 3050 would be a new 52-week low and really a multi-year low for RSPS there. For stocks that we've seen continue to move lower, we've seen some of those move into a negative trend. The PT for the sector has moved into a column of those here at 36% with last week's action. And some of the stocks that we've seen violate the trend, one of those big names being Coca-Cola, KO. It's now a 2-for-5 after moving into a trend late last week, breaking a triple bottom here at 58, returning it to a sell signal. Long-term, still keeping my eye on support here at 55, but overall near-term have continually, and really for the past year, I've seen Coke make a series of lower tops and really kind of continue that, showing some somewhat waning demand over an intermediate or possible long-term, but really remaining range-bound within this 65 to 55 level here for Coke. Looking elsewhere with possible violations of the trend line is going to be McCormick & Company. MKC still maintains a 3-for-5 attribute rating and sits in the upper half of that food and beverages and soap sector matrix. Recent action actually yesterday brought it down to 79. We keep an eye out for a move below 77 as that would take out that trend line, dropping the stock down to a 2-for-5. But again, didn't want to leave you with only negatives about the sector. There is one positive, looking at Walmart. WMT, still a 5-for-5, ranks within the top quartile of that retailing sector matrix. Action a couple of weeks ago actually saw it break a double top here at 164 for a third consecutive buy signal, and actually a new all-time high for Walmart. And that was actually last Monday when we saw that occur. So Walmart is one of those stronger names within the space that you could continue to look to add to. So it's not too overbought. Could even possibly look to add to it on a reversal back into O's here to 150 or 156. But continuing the conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Jamie.
Thanks, David. Basic materials fell from 4th to 5th in the Dolly sector rankings over the last 2 weeks. The drop in rankings more due to other sectors, specifically energy, gaining relative strength as materials only lost one buy signal over that period. The Select Sector Materials Fund, ticker XLB, down 130 basis points over the last week, trailing the S&P 500 by about 90 basis points. No major chart movements. As we can see, the fund remains on two consecutive sell signals, testing support at 81 and just above its bullish support line, which now sits at 80. We did see improvement in industrial metals over the short term. The Spider S&P Metals and Mining ETF, ticker XME, up about 130 basis points over the last week. It also reversed up into a column of X's on its relative strength chart against the S&P equal weighted index, so showing short-term relative strength against the market there. We can also see that XME's fund score has improved notably, now sitting at 5.27, up from around 3.85 a week ago, largely due to that change in the relative strength chart on its market RS chart. We also saw precious metals advance as the VanEck Gold Miners ETF, ticker GDX, gained around 210 basis points over the last week, despite yields advancing as well. We can see, however, that the fund score for GDX remains unfavorable at 2.61, with a deeply negative score direction, also sitting on a sell signal and in a negative trend. So despite some short-term absolute performance improvement, I think precious metals at this point remain an area to avoid within materials. Taking a look at the DWA group matrix, steel moved up to 2nd in that matrix, now trailing only building in terms of relative strength. A pretty clear picture of strength within industrial metals in materials at the moment. I think with the yields rising, that will present something of a headwind for precious metals. So I think at this point, industrial metals remains an area to focus on within the sector. Moving on to energy, it has continued to gain relative strength over the last week or two, now sitting 3rd in the Dolly sector rankings. The Energy Select Spider Fund, ticker XLE, actually down about 190 basis points over the last 7 days, bringing it flat over the last 2 weeks. However, we can see no signs of relative weakness here, and the XLE has a near perfect 5.76 fund score, sitting on multiple consecutive buy signals. The kind of sideways trading over the last couple of weeks has served to drop it out of heavily overbought territory. We can see now with a moderately overbought reading around 45%. So if you've been kind of eyeing energy, looking for a spot to get in, this could potentially be it. You know, we have seen XLE in overbought territory at our last investment review. So, you know, if you, as I said, if you've been kind of eyeing this, looking for a spot to get in, this could potentially be that opportunity. Taking another look at the DWA group matrix, we can see that oil has now moved into the top 10. Oil service was actually the most improved group over the last couple of weeks, moved up from six spots from 20th to 14th. So really seeing a lot of signs of oil gaining relative strength here. We can also note that oil is on X's in 40 relative strength charts in this matrix. So every other constituent in the matrix, oil showing short-term relative strength against them. And then we look at oil services, we can see it is in X's on 39 charts. So really, you know, broad short-term relative strength for both oil and oil services. While we have seen the cap-weighted funds kind of dominate the performance in the broader market in 2023, that hasn't really been the performance for, that hasn't really been the case for the energy sector. We can see here the year-to-date performance of the Invesco Equal Weight Energy ETF versus XLE, and we can see that Equal Weight outperforming XLE by about 300 basis points. RSPG also shows a 5.7 fund score, roughly equal to XLE's 5.76, but you can see a pretty significant margin of outperformance from the equal weight sector fund there. You know, another kind of trend I wanted to mention within energy is the outperformance or the relative strength of services versus exploration and production. We kind of saw this trend throughout the year, most of last year. We see here the fund score for the iShares US Oil and Gas Exploration and Production ETF, a favorable 4.46 fund score. However, looking at the iShares US Oil and Equipment Services ETF, we can see significantly better fund score there at 5.96. The point here being, that while we have seen broad relative strength within the sector, a broad cap weighted ETF like XLE may not be the optimal vehicle for adding exposure, as we are seeing, you know, relative strength more in the oil equipment services area. And we have seen that equal weighted fund kind of outperform the cap weighted fund. So you may want to kind of explore your options if you are adding exposure to energy. But that will wrap me up on sector coverage. So I will go ahead and pass it over to Miles for his take on communication services.
Thanks, Jamie. We will go ahead and get started here first with communication services as it sits towards the bottom of the Dolly sector rankings this week, earning 98 buy signals there. So pretty close to financials and extending its lead over utilities, nonetheless, still an underweight by our ranking. Starting here, though, with XLC here, the broad spider select fund for the sector has a strong 4.88 fund score. We're looking today at a 50-cent scale so we can find that shorter term action, with yesterday's action reversing back down towards the middle of the trading band to a chart reading of 67, running into some pretty sticky resistance up above at those highs for 2023. Nonetheless, things seem constructive as we have a strong fund score and a pair of consecutive buy signals on this shorter term chart. I think all things look strong here for the broad sector fund. A couple of stocks we'll take a look at here. The first one being Charter Communications, CHTR. This is a 4-for-5. Ranks first within the media sector matrix, although that sector does rank poorly, it is have some relative strength against its peer group on a string of five consecutive buy signals, rallying up to new 2023 highs. Only qualm with the name here is it is in heavily overbought territory near heavily overbought territory with a overbought oversold rating of 63.5% or so. So you may look towards a pullback there at around 424, 432 range, or just look to dollar cost average in around current levels. Moving over into Netflix and FLX, the media area just continues to be a point to watch as the strike over in Los Angeles continues to rage forward here. Some comments made last week saw Netflix reverse back down into a column of O's and return to a sell signal on its default chart. We've got this one at a 3 for 5-er. I would say that it probably does fulfill that hold designation quite well. You might want to even take some chips off the table here as we did violate that near-term support at 400. So again, if you've got a position here, maybe take some off the table as there is a bit of fundamental uncertainty as well as a break of that technical support at 400 for Netflix. We'll wrap up the communication services comments with Walt Disney here. Mentioned this one frequently as a name to avoid. DIS is a 1 for 5-er, ranks in the bottom third of that media sector matrix as well. We were just mentioning reversed back down into a column of O's yesterday here. We got that reversal back up into X's. A sell on rally candidate there, reversing back down, more likely than not going to test those 2023 lows at a chart reading of $80. Would post a second consecutive sell at 79. Moving over into industrials there, it is in the second spot within the Dolly sector rankings. They're extending its lead over energy, but still a ways away behind technology from a broad sector perspective. We're starting off here, as many others in the call have, with the percent positive trend for the sector. It did reverse back down into O's this week, but I will note it is the second highest reading of all 11 sector funds, only behind energy. So I think all things are good here from a participation standpoint, nonetheless. Couple comments here, first starting with the Select Spider Fund for the group XLI. Strong 4.16 fund score. However, we did reverse back down into O's on its default chart. All things considered, two consecutive buys reversing back down towards a old level of resistance, both from around April and May, and also from earlier to start the year. I think this is a decent entry point if you are looking for broad exposure. If you're looking for more focused names, a couple would be Ryder System, just ticker R. This one is a 4 for 5-er, ranks nicely within that transports non-air sector group, and also recently broke a spread quintuple top when it moved the new 2023 highs at 104 here. Nice kind of tranche of support below at the middle of the trading band at 97 as well as 95. Other name we can take a look at is going to be ticker ESAB. Another 4 for 5-er today, ranks nicely within the machinery and tools sector matrix on a string of 7 consecutive buy signals, recently moving into new 2023 high level. Similar to previous stock we looked at there, nice level of support just below the middle of the trading band at 68 and 67. It is in actual territory at current levels. So even though we did hit new 2023 highs, you're still all systems go for exposure if you're looking for it. With that said, though, I will go ahead and wrap up here and toss it on over to Ian.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space has seen some further weakness over the course of the past week. It was the second worst performing broad S&P sector over the last 7 days. We saw some of that negative movement reflected in some further consolidation on many of the broader representatives. So the broader equal weight representative that we see here, ticker RSPT, is kind of showing the formation of a triangle pattern, as we see. So reversed down in August, reversed back up late August into September, and now is reversed back down with movement a few days ago down to the current chart position around the 2850 point. So we've seen this kind of consolidation right around the midpoint or that 50-day moving average. Kind of be interesting to see. It's still in a positive trend, still in a buy signal on this chart. You can see this chart doesn't move around all that much, but notable to see it kind of moving towards support initially at that 28 level. Some participation indicators moved a little bit lower as well. The bullish percent for technology, ticker BPEC Tech, moved lower to the 34% level, which is the same level it got down to in the August decline before it got that kind of brief resurgence there earlier this month. So if it breaks down to 32, it would technically be a sell signal, although we wouldn't really look at buys and sells the same on these charts, but we'd be looking toward that 30 level as that kind of may low in terms of the participation from an intermediate term perspective, which is the lower level we'd seen since after the rally started earlier this year. Some near-term participation is also showing down, back down to low field position relative to where we've been previously. The last few times we've got down to the 24% level, which we currently sit now, we've reversed higher. And so the technology sector's moved higher from there. We got there in December, we got there in April, we got there in August, and now we're back there again just a few weeks later. So it'll be pretty interesting to note here to see if we see further decreasing near-term participation, maybe further leading to decreasing intermediate term participation on those BP charts, or if these are going to be kind of near-term bottoms and we'll turn around and move higher. One stock that's kind of been an indicative of both that movement is going to be Apple. So it's the largest stock in the sector, largest stock in the US equities kind of globally. Seen some negative movement recently, still a 5 for 5 from an HP perspective. Did move to a sell signal in August and kind of has showed consistent movement lower really largely since then. We've seen it drop beneath its into oversold territory, kind of south of that 10-week moving average. Still in a sell signal, so it kind of hits both of those other indicators. But it's bumping up right against support at that 147 point, for the support down at 172. Still in a positive trend, so it's still kind of this notable positive trend that you can see that's maintaining its position. So this will be certainly a name. We saw weekly momentum flip positive recently, see if we can get some resurgence. The support holds at 174 and we get a push back to the upside. It would return to a buy signal at 182 if that happened. But definitely a name that we'll be continuing to monitor here with a lot of other economic stuff coming out over the course of the next week or so. With that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on there for technology and therefore wraps up domestic equities. So jumping into the international equity space, haven't seen much sharp movement on many of the broader international representatives over the course of the past few weeks. We still see that the broader developed representative EFA is still at support at 70, bounced a little bit more with movement at the time of this recording Wednesday, based on some inflation data coming out of England, which we'll get into here in a minute. But then we haven't seen much movement on the broader emerging markets space either. So EEM still on a sell signal, but really moved to that sell signal and it's just kind of sat since that time over the course of the past few weeks. We haven't seen much movement on the NDW country index matrix rankings. A few areas kind of flip-flop spots, but we didn't see any changes to the first quartile, the second quartile, or therefore in the bottom half either. So Egypt continues to be the biggest gainer over the course of the month of September. Turkey's also moved up several spots. The top three remained unchanged, though, over the past few weeks. One interesting area to note, as I mentioned, we saw some inflation, surprise downtick in inflation coming out of England this morning, which has led to some notable improvement across a lot of broader kind of European equity indices. And representatives. So look here, looking at the iShares MSCI United Kingdom ETF, ticker EWU, it's really a similar picture to the broader developed EFA, but we see it a little bit more of a pop north into above that midpoint on trading band now. So not enough to get it to reverse back up into a column of X's. That would come with a potential move to 33 if we got back to that level. So we're getting a little bit closer, but not quite there at the time of this recording on Wednesday. But support still at that support level, 31.50 for the support down at 30. And then another big name this week that is wrapping up their kind of policy meeting, not expected to see many changes, is going to be Japan. Japan has been one of the higher ranked areas on the asset class group scores page from an international country representative. The group ranks third out of all 134 groups that we see on that page. And one pretty interesting area, pretty high scoring area within the space is the Japanese value. So the iShares MSCI Japan Value ETF, ticker EWJV, sitting on three consecutive buy signals, reached a new all-time high, just came out in 2019, I believe. But nonetheless, a new all-time high up there at 30, a near perfect 5.97 fund score. Kind of overbought with the current movement, or pretty overbought north of 100%, but certainly could be an area to look toward based upon some of the strength we're seeing from Japan. So with that, I think that wraps up what I was looking to touch on there for international equities. So I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Thanks, Ian. U.S. Treasury yields moved higher over the last week. The U.S. Treasury 10-year yield index actually reached a new multi-year high yesterday, although it wasn't quite enough to print an additional X on its PNF chart. It did reach 4.365%, which eclipsed that high that we had reached last month. Further in on the yield curve, the U.S. Treasury five-year yield index broke a spread quintuple top at 4.5%, taking out resistance that had been placed since October of last year and marking its highest level since August of 2007. Despite being at some of the highest levels that we've seen in the last 15 or so years, still seeing obviously some potential for yields to move higher with both TNX and FEX making new highs yesterday. The Fed will wrap up its September meeting today. The market currently pricing in a 99% chance of no rate hike, which would be just the second meeting at which the Fed hasn't raised rates since it started its tightening cycle last year. Assuming that the rate decision comes in as expected, I think the more important outcome for the meeting will probably be the Fed statement of economic projections, which will show members' projections for rates, unemployment, and economic growth. If we see higher for longer projections, that could help to push yields higher, while projections implying cuts relatively soon could have the opposite effect. Right now, the futures market showing just about a 50% probability that we will see a rate cut by June of next year. And then, as we can see there, the probability of a rate cut rising to around 70% by July of next year, at least in the market's estimation. Any comments from the Fed members that kind of push forward or push out that timeline for rate cuts, potentially, having the effect of moving longer term yields either higher or lower as the market rejiggers its estimates for how long the Fed is going to keep us at peak rates. Taking a look at the asset class group scores, really no changes to the fixed income rankings over the last couple of weeks, really the same areas of strength and weakness that we've seen for several months now, all areas of strength really remaining outside of the core of the market. Meanwhile, duration sensitive groups and the groups that really make up the ag, largely within the red. We still see U.S. government long near some of the lowest scores that we've ever seen. So, still seeing really historic weakness within the core of the market, but really nothing new there. Moving on to commodities. As David mentioned, commodities have moved higher over the last couple of weeks. The S&P GSCI Commodities Index up about 220 basis points since September 5th. Ag commodities have also mostly been on an upswing as the Invesco DBA Agriculture Fund, ticker DBA, gained about 160 basis points. We can see that agricultural contracts now occupy four of the top five spots in the continuous commodities matrix, and sugar, cattle, orange juice have each given fresh buy signals within the last week. Of course, for most investors, I think the big story recently is crude oil. Crude oil is up about 440 basis points over the last 2 weeks. It did reach $92 yesterday, just shy of previous resistance there at 93, which it reversed down from twice last year. At this point, I think it would be surprising if we didn't see crude kind of make a run there at that 93 levels, but obviously stranger things have happened. I will note that crude is in heavily overbought territory with a weekly overbought oversold reading of 80%. If you haven't added exposure up to this point, I don't think this is the spot to be adding exposure to crude oil. But we have seen this kind of help to lift energy equities kind of underpinning that relative strength gain that we've seen in the energy sector. Further within energy commodities, natural gas returned to a buy signal yesterday. It is up about 380 basis points over the last week, but we can see it remaining firmly within this range that it's been in over the last 2 months or so. We can kind of see that expansion there in August, and since then, really just kind of staying in this range between 250 and 285. Something to keep an eye on there if we can see a breakout to the upside, potentially past $3. But at this time, I think this is just kind of more range bound trading from natural gas. And then finally, we'll take a look at heating oil. It fell to a sell signal on its default chart. We're actually looking at the less sensitive 5 cent per box chart here. But you can see a pretty strong uptrend here for heating oil. It did reach into heavily overbought territory, but has now pulled back a bit. All of this to say, you know, seeing a lot of strength within the energy complex in commodities, also seeing some positives coming from agriculture. As far as the broader market, I'm not sure that that's necessarily a good thing. You know, I think this has the potential to kind of result in an uptick in inflation, which obviously would probably cause the Fed to be more hawkish than if we continue to see, you know, a kind of nice decline in inflation like we have been for the last few months. But, you know, obviously can't call what the CPI reading is going to be in advance, but definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, as I think this rise in food and energy prices definitely has the potential to kind of push up headline inflation. But for commodities investors, and especially in the energy complex, you know, everything looking pretty good right now, definitely seeing some strong signs of relative strength within the energy area. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities. And I will go ahead and pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Thanks a lot, Jamie. So the big thing obviously will be the Fed meeting, the announcement, and then, as Jamie mentioned, even kind of the statement that'll give us some indication of what they're looking for kind of the close of the year and maybe into early next year. We're seeing some deterioration. You know, it is September. We're seeing, as Steve pointed out, that equal weight group kind of dipping below some of the other groups that are cap weighted. So that's certainly something to watch for there, as we'll probably see more stocks kind of breaking down when that equal weight and small cap areas start to show weakness. But we'll be back next week to talk about any changes we see over the coming week.